Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CAF America Radio Network, a production of the Charities Aid Foundation of America. As the leader in global giving, CAF America offers more than 20 years of experience and expertise to corporations, foundations, and individuals who wish to give internationally and with enhanced due diligence in the United States. Through its industry-leading grant management programs and philanthropic advisory services, CAF America helps donors amplify their impact. This show is dedicated to these donors and the charities they support. CAF America is uniquely positioned to serve as the bridge between these important partners and transforms vision into meaningful action. Guests on the CAF America Radio Network are leaders in their field who share tips for success and stories that inspire. Our host is Ted Hart, the CEO of the Charities Aid Foundation of America. This is a live call-in show. Add your voice by calling 914-338-0855. After the show, you can find all of our podcasts at cafamerica.org. Don't forget to dial 914-338-0855. Now, welcome the host of the CAF America Radio Network, Ted Hart.
And welcome here to this latest edition of the CAF America Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a very, very interesting guest for you here on the show today. Mark Crandall will be joining us, and he is the founder and executive director of Hoops for Hope. This is a very inspiring organization that fosters the spirit of Ubuntu, which translates roughly into human kindness. And the focus of his organization, Hoops for Hope, is to help African communities help themselves. A very interesting background story here on Mark before he joins us is back in 1984, at the age of 15, Mark traveled to Zimbabwe as a Rotary exchange student that forever changed the path of his life. In addition to being captain of his high school basketball and soccer teams, he received a BA in sociology from the University of Vermont and went on to the School for International Training in Melbourne, Australia. So he certainly has international sort of in his blood, but he is the founder and serves as executive director of Hoops for Hope, which seeks to provide sports, fun, education opportunity for young people with a focus on African communities. Welcome here to the CAF America Radio Network, Mark Crandall.
Thank you so much, Ted. It's great to be here.
Mark, your work is clearly inspiring, but let's start off with what inspired you to start Hoops for Hope?
Thanks, Ted. My story has it's been a long road, and as a young American kid growing up here in Long Island, I played sports, basketball, soccer, baseball, you name it, and I didn't really know that there was a big world out there. I traveled, luckily, with my parents when I was 7 to 9, across America, and got to see a bit of the country. And my personal story is I come from a place where people roll up their sleeves to get things done. My dad was a teacher. My mom was a social worker. But in this town, all the little league basketball or ambulance or even fire departments are all run by volunteers. So I was surrounded by a community that knows how to roll up its sleeves and help people. I think that background helped me shape the course of my life and my studies as I went through.
The work that you're doing certainly is seeking to change the lives of others. What personal experiences in your sports and with your education helped actually shape this vision for what's known now as Hoops for Hope?
Well, like you mentioned, I first went to Zimbabwe when I was 15. It was a bit of fate and destiny, as I call it. I was selected to go and given almost guaranteed one of my three choices, which were I put Brazil, Japan, and France. And whatever reasons, the Rotarians decided to send me to Zimbabwe. And so that turn of events took me out of my comfort zone as a 15-year-old growing up here in Long Island. And, as an athlete, the first place I kind of went to for that comfort was the basketball court in the new school that I went to in Harare, Zimbabwe, which was also a public school and called the Prince Edward School, that had a long tradition of sports. So, but there I was definitely out of my comfort zone, being the only white kid playing in the entire city, I think the entire country at that point, and seeing things from a whole different perspective. I was a kid who went to camp every year. I went to a great camp that I've luckily turned into a business for the last 25 years. My best friend as a child, we started the camp, restarted it when we were 22 after it had closed. So those ideals of being able to have a safe place for kids to play, meet friends, travel, get to go to other communities, they all shaped me and my leadership, going on to be a captain of both my basketball and soccer teams. So sport always seemed like the one thing that kept me on the straight and straight path and made me tired every day. And I wanted to be able to share that to others, which is a little bit of a different model when it comes to doing it in the third world.
Well, there are lots of people, maybe not enough, but there are a lot of people who travel to other parts of the world and travel to Zimbabwe and Africa and come back. And in a lot of ways, their lives are changed, but they don't go on to start a charitable organization that looks to go back and change lives. Why you? Why Hoops for Hope? And why? What changed you from just being a student that was learning and playing basketball in Zimbabwe to someone who's leading an organization to change lives?
Well, I think, here in America as an athlete, I often speak to school children and ask them, what does it take to play sports? And you hear, it takes perseverance, it takes skill, it takes talent, energy, all of those things. But sometimes we forget that it actually it takes balls. It takes a place to play. It takes a coach and equipment to be looked after and courts to be safe in schools for kids to go to. And especially in Zimbabwe, schools are they're under-resourced and the teachers are very tired at the end of the day, sometimes with classes from 50 to 75 kids. And so it's that after-school time that is the time when kids really need to have that focus and be with role models. So throughout my history, I saw the power of the coach to be that person in my life. And when I returned to Zimbabwe, it seemed pretty obvious that those things were not being provided in so many communities. So the first 7 or 8 years, we did not fund any staff. We've done it all on through volunteerism and helping people to help themselves, which is, I think, is the most successful way to do development. It's not just the things that you do for people and assist them in what they're doing. It's to tell you, help them do it for themselves and transfer that knowledge, the ownership, and the self-sufficiency, which does take time. We often want results so quickly, but it does take a lot of patience and finding out who the right people are on the ground to help make things happen and also providing those resources so that they can do it.
Well, that's always a challenge to effectively and impactfully run programs that are not in your own community and not even in your own country, not even on your own continent. So talk to us a little bit about what you've learned and what you can share with our listeners about successfully managing charitable projects that are half a world away.
Well, I think, often in the sport and development world, you often see short-term initiatives that, come in, whether it's a one-day anti-crime tournament and a lot of people show up, a lot of pictures are taken, and everyone feels great, and then we'll see you in another 600, 354 days, until the next event, or week-long camps, which obviously can help change a kid's life and a trajectory of where they're going. But it really takes that repetitive contact and programs in communities that are there for the long haul to make that long-term impact in communities. So we've set up our model in a way that, we're doing a very cost-efficient and high-impact program B being with these kids every single day, or many days across across the school year. So we're there for those kids, and not just for the kids, but for the youth who, you know, unfortunately in the communities that we work in, there's, you know, 80% plus unemployment rate. So giving young people something really positive to do and be a part of, so that they can, again, create that ownership and help solve the problems within their own community that can be long lasting. And that is obviously a model that we all strive for, but to make sure that it's sustainable and that it can be there for years to come is one of the biggest challenges.
So is it fair to say that what you're seeking to do here is more than just about the sport itself?
Yeah, the skills that we provide for kids on a daily basis intertwines a life skills curriculum. You know, life skills is one of those words that can encompass many things. But again, it's, you know, we're not trying to put a Band-Aid on just one problem. The communities that we work in are highly disadvantaged. The schools are under-resourced. So these kids come from a variety of backgrounds. Sometimes they're living in one parent households. Some are even in child-run households with just older siblings watching them. So they desperately need to be in a positive environment around young people that can help guide them and assist them into their future. So we have a curriculum that uses these seven tools, as we call it, just core values that help kids understand how to make the right decisions in the face of so many challenges. Because who you are on the court is who you are off the court. And we're using that time as responsibly as we can to not only bring joy and athleticism to these young people, but also impact their future and their hope for the future in places where often in Africa, you're pretty much living in the present. Not only is knowing where dinner's coming from tonight, or tomorrow, it's you live day to day. So that premise is sometimes difficult to run both an organization in as well as to influence kids on a daily basis.
We're going to take a very, very quick break here. And when we come back, many people outside of Africa may not be familiar with the concept of Ubuntu. And I was hoping when we come back, if you could share with us what that is, but more importantly, how has that become somewhat of a guidepost for Hoops for Hope? And we'll be right back.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at CAFAmerica.org. If you're listening today, our phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 914-338-0855. Now, back to the CAF America Radio Network and our host, Ted Hart.
And we're here live on the CAF America Radio Network with Mark Crandall. He's a founder and executive director of Hoops for Hope. And Mark, I'm wondering if you could share with us this concept of Ubuntu.
Sure. It's an ancient term in Africa, and I think it best explains the interconnectedness of the world, and it kind of embodies what Nelson Mandela, he became kind of famous for using this word, Ubuntu, I am because of you. And I think as our world gets smaller, we all realize how, you know, whether it's the people, the animal, the ecosystems, we're all interconnected. And Ubuntu is best translated as human kindness. It's a concept of connection and community, mutual caring of people around you. And for me, I believe it's a unity. It's what you can do for others and not necessarily what you can take from them. And I always judge the greatness of a person and measure them and, you know, and how much they give rather than how much they take or how much money they make or how nice a car they may drive. It's really kind of an overarching concept of that we're all interconnected and that you have to be caring and compassionate and have empathy.
Well, those are all sort of internal skills that can help people understand the need and focus on finding solutions to that need. In the work that you do, you pointed out earlier that it's more than just the sport, and the sport gives maybe sort of a common language that the other skills can be learned through. Hoops for Hope focuses on, I believe, on skills for life. So what's beyond the sport, specifically, and for our listeners today, when they're thinking and focusing on their own philanthropy and the good works that they would like to accomplish around the world, how has Skills for Life added more than just hoops?
Well, we've seen so much impact over the years. Sometimes impact is hard to measure, but when you see that people are starting to become great leaders, we have about 10,000 kids in our programs every year and running on a shoestring budget, and it's really because of the hard work and dedication, sacrifice of our staff and so many volunteers on the ground that help make it happen. And that's Ubuntu. It's really a volunteer model that is helping people to understand why they're giving back to their community and believing in a better tomorrow and giving that back to the young people that are around them. And again, when we have players and coaches who are on the court, it's who they are off the court that is so important in those communities. When those kids see them walking down the street, that that they can turn to them and seek advice. And whenever we're searching for solutions for some of these bigger problems like HIV prevention and gender equality, we solve it through communication. So in every practice that we have, we do our circle time. We don't necessarily teach it, we facilitate it and are able to discuss these issues around staying safe and staying away from those factors that will increase your rates of HIV or turning to drugs and crime. So day by day, we're able to really impact young people. And also through the Ubuntu of our supporters here in America and Canada and also across Europe, we wouldn't have been able to do this without very generous support. Not a lot of money, but through many people's donations, as well as equipment and sneakers and balls that help keep the action going at Hoops for Hope, has been so crucial in our model.
The National Basketball Association has been a strong supporter of your work. I think maybe this is a bit of an obvious question in terms of what the answer might be, but why would they want to be involved with your program? What makes you a standout for such an impressive organization to want to associate with you?
Well, we've been a community partner with the NBA for the last 9 years. We've been able to showcase some of our skills for life and HIV prevention and leadership games at the Basketball Without Borders camps that they do every year in Southern Africa, which brings the top 100 players from across Africa to one place. And that's just 1 week of our staff's year going to motivate them and really showcase the power of our life skills on any kids, whether it's young kids in Zimbabwe or kids from across the continent who are hopefully going to go on to be professionals. You know, now the NBA has been, they have a head office, NBA Africa in Johannesburg, and they've been working hard to share the game across the continent, and they have some big sponsors that are helping to share it on the internet, on TV, and across Africa now. You can watch live games. You can be part of the NBA in many ways. And they appreciate that we're doing that ground on that work on the ground to bring the game and make it possible for those kids to play the game that they love for many of the same reasons that kids around the world also love this game.
After 9 years of support, I would imagine that you've seen some young people become, you know, a little bit more seasoned people. And do you see them coming back to the program and giving back?
Yeah, we very much have a cyclical cycle of kids that work with us play with us on the courts, and then become volunteers, and then move on to work with us, and then move off to get jobs. We've had many of our many success stories of kids becoming assistant teachers or teachers working in businesses, and so it's through the work and the communication and the time management, so many of the things that you don't necessarily think about happening in a sports field or court are reinforced every single day, and so that connection and giving back to your community it pays dividends in the future for a lot of these kids, and so many of those kids are still with us in those communities, and we've also had some success stories of many of our kids also do very well in the sport. So the national teams in both South Africa and in Zimbabwe are stacked with kids who have played the sport since they were little because of our hard work. We have one young man who is now playing professional in Europe. Just missed the NBA draft, but he's been playing in Germany and now is in Italy, and other kids who also get scholarships to both high schools and different colleges in Africa itself, as well as here in America.
I would imagine that adds some granularity to your program, taking it from sort of a concept or a group of volunteers looking to do good, but to have young people come back who are become more seasoned and have success in their lives that they can draw a direct line back to Hoops for Hope. That I would imagine makes it more real to the current generation of kids that are just entering the program.
Yes, definitely. To have this one young man, Vitalis Jokoko, who's playing professional in Italy, every time he returns to Zimbabwe, he goes back to his community to tell his story, and again, that feeds their hope of a better tomorrow, and he's able to share how hard work and persistence and talent can get you to the next level. But obviously we know that not everyone is going to make a career from their sport, and we're very much aware of that, and often have different business people from the community come and visit us, whether it's people who are artists or fix bikes or are business people, lawyers, return to our courts and share their stories. As well as we've been lucky to have some NBA visitors. Luol Deng has come to Cape Town to visit us. We even had the Spurs trophy, it's called the Larry O'Brien Trophy, come all the way to Africa and be brought to our communities for the kids to touch it and see such a beautiful trophy. So the lessons of sport are there for these kids, and the community itself is what's keeping them strong and helping them on a daily basis.
Of course, it matters always, the communities that you're involved in, the specific lives that you touch. But for our audience today, I think drawing attention to sort of the global significance of your work and the sustainable development goals that have been released by the United Nations and the vision that brings for a better world, a new world. What does that mean for Hoops for Hope and to you personally, in terms of a connection to the Sustainable Development Goals?
Well, we definitely are trying to address many of the 17 goals. We can't do them all, but I'm trying to get to the root causes of some of these problems and give some solutions and tools for these kids to be able to survive and thrive in this world is our goal. So we are trying, as much as we are, you know, located and doing programs in both Zimbabwe and South Africa, our model and our vision is for the big picture, is a best practice principle, so that we can have more of a collective impact with our model and be able to share our recipe and tools and training with so many other communities that reach out to us. People often think that we're kind of the UNICEF of sports, and we get emails and calls from around the planet of people who are very similar to our coaches, who are inspired, they're hardworking, they're motivated, they're in difficult communities, but yet they don't have the tools and the necessary connections, the balls, the equipment, just a set of uniforms to help them provide sport and education to the kids in their own community. So we hope that the model that we're building, we can be able to share it on a higher level, both across the continent of Africa or across the world, because it's some of those simple solutions to these common problems that are going to be so important for us to try to create change in this world.
The oftentimes sport itself can be seen as or feel a bit like a universal language. And this is a language that Hoops for Hope has been creating translation and creating opportunities for young people to learn this universal language. How does this then translate into communities?
Well, our community of Hoops for Hope couldn't exist without collaboration and cooperation with so many people, whether it's on the ground in Zimbabwe working in partnership with the schools to be able to have access to their properties and be able to build courts. We often do the funding of courts together with the school, and reaching out to the police and social workers, the parents on the ground when we can, and other nonprofits like the NBA, who helps us with equipment and gear often, or our supporters here in America that have been extremely generous. It really takes a world to help create change. And, you know, the wider that we can spread this message and spread kind of the power of sport, be able to create change is what we, you know, are really aiming for, so that we can bring this message to more people and really try to motivate and excite people that, you know, you can't necessarily wait for somebody to fly in and do that change for you. You got to roll up your sleeves and try to help better your own community as best you can.
Make a difference. Well, you certainly are making a difference. Hoops for Hope is an inspiring story of the spirit of Ubuntu. We only have a couple of minutes left here on the show. Time always goes by so fast. Can we just wrap up with the final 2 minutes here of more about the future of Hoops for Hope and your hope for development in these communities?
Well, we've been around for 20 years. It's been an incredible journey, and we are hoping to be around for another 20 plus years, but our model that we've done in the past is going to have to change after, you know, as the world changes. And so we're trying to be more sustainable as an organization. We've got a building that has served as our center for the past 12 years in Zimbabwe. That building was purchased by one young man, 13-year-old's bar mitzvah donation here in America 12 years ago. So we're trying to turn that into the world's first basketball bed and breakfast, so that many of the people that contact us and want to be a part of it, we can invite them. And through staying at our bed and breakfast and enjoying and meeting our people in Zimbabwe, then pay for the Wi-Fi and the gas and all the other costs that are associated with trying to run our programs on the ground. And as hard as that is, the fundraising and the sustainability part is, like us and for many other nonprofits out there, is the biggest challenge. So the more that we can get support from other nonprofits as well as athletes, kind of pushing them to provide more of their salary or Ubuntu in their own ways to help others.
Basketball is a vehicle for change, and the wonderful work of Hoops for Hope has been our topic today. And, of course, any of our funders, any of our fund holders who would like to be involved with making a difference in Africa with young people and potentially be involved with Hoops for Hope can contact us at 202-793-2232 or find us, of course, always, along with all of our podcasts, at CAFAmerica.org. Mark Crandall, founder and executive director of Hoops for Hope, thank you so much for being my guest today here on the CAF America Radio Network.
Thanks so much for having me, Ted.
You've been listening to the CAF America Radio Network. Tell all your friends and colleagues to check out our production schedule. Sign up for our free newsletter and download our iPad and iPod-friendly podcasts at CAFAmerica.org. Thanks for listening to the CAF America Radio Network.